All right, good morning. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ruth, we're going to look at Ruth chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Once you find your space, your place there, if you are able to, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? We're looking at Ruth chapter 1, starting in verse 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for each opportunity you allow us to be in your house and to be under the preaching and teaching of your word. And I pray, Father, that you would continue to guide us and direct us in your ways. I pray that the truths of your word would come alive to us. I pray, Father, that you'd give me boldness to proclaim your word. I pray, Father, that you would put the very words in my mouth that I need to preach this morning. I pray, Father, that it would go out and it would touch each heart, that our lives would be changed for the better, and that you would be lifted up and glorified in all that's said and done here, looking forward to all that you have for us now. And will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to show you from the scriptures this morning a family that lived among God's people, and then due to some hard times, they packed up and moved. Some people might be thinking, so what? People pack up and move from one city to another all the time, right? They do that a lot of times because of hard times, right? There's hard times, so they pack up and they move where things might be better. And that's correct. We do. But every time we see something in the Word of God, it's there for a reason. God doesn't just put things in His Word that are not important for us. He puts them there for a reason. The reason that God put this family here in the Scriptures this morning for moving is because it was a mistake for them to move. It was a very costly mistake for them to move. God put them in here in the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, that we might learn from their mistake. There's a lot of things that I tell people, it'd be nice if people would learn from others' mistakes, but we don't tend to do that very often. We tend to have to make the mistakes ourselves and learn, right? I mean, you can tell children all the time, don't touch that burner, it's hot, and it will burn you. And it will hurt. And what's the first thing they have to do? Touch that burner, right? We have to learn things sometimes for ourselves. But God gives us His Word with things in it to warn us so we can learn from the mistakes of others. I remember years ago there was a pastor that said, "I'm going to preach this morning on all the mistakes of the Bible." And all of a sudden everybody went, the Bible's not got any mistakes, right? Well, not on God's part, there aren't any mistakes, but man has made mistake after mistake after mistake, and it's recorded in the Bible for us, so we would learn from them. I want to show you what was their mistake. They were a family with a problem that looked in all the wrong places for the solution to that problem. Don't be too hard on them. We have a tendency to do the same thing, right? I think of the psalmist in Psalm 121. If you'll turn there real quick, we're going to look at a couple verses there, so hold your place in Ruth and then also in Psalm 121. Psalmist tells us about the heathens of his day. They also looked in all the wrong places for the solving of their problems. They would erect idols on the top of mountains. When they had problems, they would head to the mountains to pray to these idols to help them. In Psalm 121, the psalmist makes sarcastic reference to their going there to pray to their idols. Look at verse 1 of Psalm 121 where it says, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. Basically, he's saying, when I have a problem, right, I will also lift up my eyes to the hills for the solution to my problems. Are we going to find the solution to our problems looking up to the hills? No. No. Of course, absolutely not, right? Then verse 2 of Psalm 121 says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Oh, praise the Lord, right? He's saying two things here. He's saying, in other words, no, I will not turn to the idols of this world for the need that for the help that I need, right? He said, that's not where I'm going to look. And then he says, my help cometh from the Lord, and finishes that with who made heaven and earth. He's saying, the Lord. Who we need to look to for help. Let's not look in all the wrong places for the help that we need. He's saying that he did not make the God that he served. The God that he serves made everything, the heavens and the earth and everything in them. Then in the remaining verses, he tells us why he turned to the living God for his help. Verses 3 through 8 of Psalm 121 says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. David did not make the mistake that many are making today. Nor did he make the mistake this family made in the Old Testament. They went to the wrong place to solve their problem. We have a tendency to do that, right? So what caused them to go to the wrong place? What made them think that they needed to do that? Well, verse 1 might shed some light on the very hard and foolish decision to move to Moab. Verse 1, the Bible makes a point of telling us that the bad decision they made took place during the days when the judges ruled over Israel. Why does God's word tell us that it was during the days of the judges when this took place? Because it was a time of debauchery in the land. It was a time when every man did that was right in his own eyes, which is a very dangerous thing when we live in a society that men do everything that's right in their own eyes. And we can see that in this day and age in which we live. People are doing that which is right in their own eyes. And it doesn't matter if it makes any sense, right? Senseless school shooting again. Catholic school, right? From what they can find in the writings of the shooter, because he killed himself, is that he hates children and wants to see them suffer. That's just evilness. He was doing what was right in his own eyes. Children are a blessing from the Lord. Why would anybody want to see them suffer? When we live in a society like this, it has an effect on the decisions that we make. In America today, we're known worldwide for many things. Regrettably, one of the big things that we're known for is our sin and debauchery. Make no mistake about it. When people live in a country that's surrounded by evil, it will affect the people who live there in their decision making. We see adults today doing things that shock us. And they do them because they're affected by the evils in the land. We see people doing things that will shock us because they're affected by the evils in the land. We see children in grammar schools, right, taking guns and shooting their classmates because they are affected by the things that they see around them in the society in which we live. It's amazing how these things happen all the time. These kids grow up with video games where people are killing people, and then they start the game, and what happens? All those people are alive again. They don't understand that once you kill someone, they're dead. They're not coming back to life. They're not coming back to life here on this earth. If they're saved, they've gone on, they live forever, right? But they're not coming back to life here. They see that. They live in a nation that's filled with violence and sin and so much more that no longer does sin shock them. It's become the norm. It's amazing. We wonder why there's so much shooting, raping, stealing going on. Violence has become the norm. And we wonder. It's a dangerous thing to live in an evil society like Moab or the United States of America. Both the young and the old are affected by the evil that surrounds them. No one is immune from it. It was a dangerous thing when Naomi and her family moved to this evil place called Moab. Every ungodly evil that Satan has, he has released on our country, and these evils have become acceptable. Acceptable. And let me just say this, they're not just acceptable to the lost world out there, they're acceptable to God's people today, which should not be. When we decide that what God calls evil, we say is okay, we are siding against God. It's amazing to me how many people that profess to know Christ as Savior are pro-abortion. Those children are a gift from God. And we've said it's okay to abort them. And then we've got the crowd that says, well, in certain circumstances only. That means you're still pro-abortion. You get that, don't you? To be anti-abortion means there is no reason whatsoever to have abortion. People say, well, you got to choose one life over the other. God is the giver and taker of life. Not man, God. But who would ever think that we'd be living in an age where abortion has become acceptable by many? Not just a few, but many find it acceptable today. Transgenderism has become acceptable by some. Who'd have guessed? Homosexuality has become acceptable by some. Same-sex marriages have become acceptable by many. Gambling has become acceptable by some. Drinking alcoholic beverages has become acceptable by some. Marijuana has become acceptable by some. Cursing has become acceptable by some. Grates on my every nerve when they start in, and eventually it leads right to taking the Lord's name in vain. Lying has become acceptable to many. We almost expect it anymore, that people are just going to lie to us. I could go on and on and on about how many things have become acceptable and become the norm in this day and age in which we live. But one of the concerns we all should have about the evil of this land is that something is very seldom even addressed. It's not being addressed by the average citizen. All they seem to want to talk about is sports and entertainment. We don't hear politicians addressing the problem. They're just concerned about being reelected. We don't not hear very many preachers address this problem from the pulpits across America. All they seem to care about is drawing a crowd, whatever it takes. People are concerned about a lot of things. We have people in our society that are classified as environmentalists. They're constantly making the news because of their protests for clean water and clean air. But very few today are concerned about the sin pollution in which we live. Very few. Dangerous to live in a society that is sinful. We don't live close to the Lord, we're going to get contaminated with the filth of this world. There's no way to avoid it if we're not walking closely with the Lord. In the Old Testament, God warned the people not to associate with ungodly countries. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughter thou shalt not give unto his son, nor his daughter shalt thou take unto thy son, for they will turn away thy son from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. And look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and 14. The Bible says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? We live in an evil world. There's no doubt about it. We have to be careful who we associate with. Teenagers should be very, very cautious. Should be careful not to date unbelievers. They can talk them into doing things that they should not do that will ruin the rest of their life. Naomi lived during the evil days of the judges in Israel. And no doubt the evil in the land which she lived affected her decision to leave Bethlehem and to go live in wicked Moab. Need to get a better look at this family. Elimelech was the dad. His name meant, my God is king. Naomi, the wife, her name means pleasantness. What wonderful names for a couple. But notice the name of the two children. Malan's name meant sickly, and Chilion's name meant pining, which is languishing, wasting away. What we have here is a couple with beautiful names who have two children. One is sickly and the other is pining. There's a famine in the land. So what happened? They move from the land of God to the land of the wicked Moabites. Remember the Moabites? Remember Lot who dwelt in Sodom and Gomorrah? The Moabites were his descendants. So why did they make this move? Well, rather than trusting in God to take care of their needs, they decided, well, there's a famine in the land and we need to do something ourselves to make sure we have food. Instead of just trusting God, they decided they would trust in themselves and pick up and move. So what did they do? They turned to the wicked Moabites to solve their problem. It's what people do when they start to backslide. They turned all the wrong places for solution to their problems. When a person backslides, they turn to the world for companionship. They turn to the world for contentment. They turn to the world for the happiness that they seek. This family is facing a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah. And rather than trust God, they put their trust in the wicked Moabites. We need to notice the attention that is placed on two women as we look at this story. Naomi, she's the perfect picture of a backslider. And Ruth, she's the perfect picture of a new convert. Chapter 1, Naomi is the star attraction that we're going to talk about today. Naomi's new home. Look at verse 2. Says, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. We see so many people of God living among the modern day Moabites today. When the people of God drift from God, we find them in places we should not find them. Some in front of their television sets watching the same things that the heathen watch. Some go to the movie theaters watching the same things the heathen watch, reading sleazy tabloids that the lost world reads, in bookstores buying the same things that the heathen read. Naomi and her family moved to the wrong place to find the solutions to their problems. But notice they didn't just move there and realized they'd made a mistake and moved back. The Bible says they moved and continued there. And as the book of Ruth continues, it tells us they were there for 10 years. Notice something we discover about them being there. They continued there because they were comfortable. And now they can do this and it does not bother them in the least. Many of God's children have acclimated to the darkness of sin in their life, and now you cannot tell any difference in them and the lost world in which we live. I've made the comment many times, Christians give Christians a bad name. Because there's a lot of people out there spouting off their great Christianity, and they're not living it. And it's giving lost people a whole different idea of what Christianity is all about. So why did they stay there for 10 years? They felt comfortable with the Moabites. Then let me add this, the Moabites felt comfortable with them. See, pretty soon there's no difference. If you can feel comfortable as a Christian in this world, something's wrong. But if the lost world feels comfortable with you, there's also something wrong. Going there and staying for 10 years tells us something about this family. So why did the Moabites feel comfortable with them? Because some people, to feel comfortable, they have to go along with them to get along with them. And that's what the Bible calls compromising. We start compromising, and I've said this for years, you compromise on one issue, and you're on a slippery slope, because it'll become easier and easier and easier to compromise on the other ones. When we serve the Lord, most of the time the lost world will find fault with us. They will not accept us. It's because the Bible tells us that we are a written epistle. We don't live as they do. We don't talk like they do. We don't dress like they do. We don't read what they read. We don't watch what they watch. We don't value the same system they have. In 2 Corinthians 3:2, it says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men." Paul's telling us that the ungodly do not read their Bible, but we are written epistle, known and read of all men. We live a godly life before the lost, and the godly life is a slap in their face, spiritually speaking. They don't like it. You live a life that's God-honoring, and the lost world does not like it. You see, when we live right, we become a spiritual slap in the face of the wicked. They will tell Bible believers, you should not be trying to cram your values down our throat, yet they are trying to cram their lack of values down our throats. We need to be more tolerant, but yet they're less tolerant. Why do we need to change what we believe? Why shouldn't they change? I mean, we got what's better. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have a much better life than they have. We have eternal life. Suppose a man or a woman comes to church as the Lord has commanded them to do, but their marriage partner, husband or wife, who is not saved, will not come with them. But when they get home from church, their spouse does not say, "Honey, was the church service a blessing to you?" No, instead, they're mad as can be. They're upset because you attend church. That's a slap in their face. And they don't like it. They don't like it at all. As Christians, we should not feel comfortable around the lost world, and the lost world should not feel comfortable around us. But they continued in Moab because the Moabites were comfortable with them, and they were comfortable with the Moabites. They were backslidden on God.
They continued there because the Moabites had something to offer them. Let me tell you, this old sinful world, with Satan trying to convince us that it has something to offer us, it has nothing. It has nothing that we need. The Lord Jesus Christ has what we need. They left the land of Israel because of a famine, and they came to Moab because they had felt that Moab had something to offer them that the land of Israel didn't have. The world could never offer more than God can. This old world can never offer us more than God can offer us. We go through some tough times in our lives, right? We've had all kinds of things, but there's nothing that the devil can offer us that's better. Nothing. I've said over and over and over, this old world throws some stuff at us, and thank God we've got God to get us through it. We can always rely on the Lord. Let's not forget that the Bible tells us that Satan is a deceiver. He is the biggest deceiver that ever walked this earth. And he's always tried to convince people that he can offer them more than God can offer them. Which is a lie. He is such a deceiver that he's able to deceive one third of the angels in heaven, and they followed him in that rebellion against God before they all got kicked out. He's been very successful at convincing people that he has more to offer them than God, their creator, can offer them. Another reason they stayed in Moab for 10 years, they continued there to look to the world for prosperity. But according to the Word of God, it is God who gives wealth. Look at Deuteronomy 8:18. Deuteronomy 8:18 says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day." It's true that some have obtained wealth through illegal gain, but I'm talking about the fact that God can give wealth to a godly man or woman. He can open doors for us. He can give insight on how to be successful. Yet the devil has convinced many that if they want to be wealthy, they had better follow him. But that's a lie. We don't need to look to the devil for wealth. I can tell you of story after story after story of people who tried to make me do something illegal or dishonest or immoral to make a dollar during my real estate career. Wasn't worth it to me. Wasn't worth it. It's never right to do wrong, but it's always right to do right. God can take care of us. We don't have to look to the devil and this old world and all of the lying and deceitfulness and everything to make a dollar. God will take care of us. We just got to trust him. Look at Psalm chapter 1, verse 3. Psalm chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Satan has convinced people that they continued to live there for 10 years because they looked to Moab for protection. Many have moved in among the modern-day Moabites because they feel protection around these heathen. They certainly outnumber Christians, and we always feel there's safety in numbers, right? No. There's safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches that the majority today are traveling on that broad road that leads to hell. We're going to follow that crowd. We're not going to find any comfort following the large crowd, because they're all headed to the same place. The Bible says it's a place called hell. It's God who gives us protection we need. Remember what God said about what Satan said about God concerning Job? Look at Job chapter 1 and verse 10. This is what Satan said about God concerning Job. Job 1:10, "Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land." It's God that does all these things. It's God that takes care of us. It's God that provides. He's saying, God, you are the one who has prospered him, and you are the one who has protected him. And they continue to live in Moab for provision. God's the one who provides for us. There are so many scriptures in the Bible that teach this. Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Psalm 37:3 through 5 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." The Bible tells us that God will provide. We got to trust him. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those prosperity preachers you hear on television where they just say, name it and claim it, right? I don't believe in that. But the Bible does teach us that God can prosper us, God can protect us, and God can provide for us. Amen. And he does. So how can you tell when you are backslidden? The life of Naomi shows us how we can know. We continue to live among the modern-day Moabites. We feel comfortable living among them. And we feel comfortable, they feel comfortable with us as a believer. When we feel that the modern-day Moabites have something to offer us, then we have become backsliding and need to return to God. This old world has nothing to offer us. Nothing. We looked at Naomi leaving Israel to live among the wicked Moabites. Now I want to look at her returning to Israel, her homecoming. The prodigal son, the Bible tells us, that he did not come to his senses until he ended up into the hog pen. But look at Ruth chapter 1 and verse 21. "I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me?" She went out full. She didn't return that way. Says, "When I left Israel, I thought things were bad, but now I know bad times, what bad times really are. In Moab, her husband died. Her two sons died." A lot of times we think things are bad, we make bad decisions, but no matter how bad things might be, they can become a lot worse. That's why the lost world turns to drugs and alcohol. They're trying to drown their misery. Living in sin is not only costly when it comes to money, but also spiritually. Naomi's back in Bethlehem, but what brought her back? There were two things. First of all, the chastisement of God. Look at Ruth chapter 1, starting verse 3, reading through verse 5. It says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. When a person chooses to sin, they can depend on a cost that is coming afterwards. Every sin has consequence. Every single sin has a consequence. We don't mind the sin so much, but we sure don't like the penalty of that sin, do we? We don't like the consequence associated with it. We can choose to sin, but we don't have the slightest idea what it's going to cost us, but we can rest assured there is a payday someday. Naomi knew the price of going to Moab would be the lives of her husband and her two sons. She'd have never gone. It wasn't until later that she found out what it would cost her. See, you don't get this sin costs you this. We don't know what the consequence is till it happens. But I can tell you what we do know about that sin. This sin in the life of a believer will cost us our fellowship with Almighty God. The Bible is very clear. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Our fellowship will be broken. She found out later what that price was. When we, as a sinner or a saint, we pay the price of sin. Naomi lost her husband, two sons, her testimony. What a price to pay. What brought her back? No doubt the price of sin had taken a toll on her. God's chastisement had a lot to do with her coming back. And then the provision of God. Look at verse 6 of Ruth chapter 1. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. God had provided food for the people of Israel. The famine that she ran from is now history. The Bible says that Ruth had heard how the Lord had visited his people. One of the things that was motivating her was food. She left because of the famine, the lack of food, but now God uses food to bring her back to the land of plenty. When she arrived, God provides two things. First, he provides physical food. She heard that in the land of Israel, God had blessed his people again and sent them food to eat, enjoy, and eat. Her coming back for food is not the purest of motives for returning to Bethlehem, but sometimes God will take a wrong motive and turn it into something good. Thank God, he uses different things to get our attention and get us back where we need to be. Many young men have gone to church seeking out a young lady as a wife, right? They start attending and attending and attending, and their idea is that they're going there for the wrong motive, right? They're not going to hear from God. They're not going to be a part of what's going on in the service. They're going for one thing and one thing only. They're seeking a wife. But God can take that wrong motive and turn it into something good, because while they're under the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, God can touch their hearts and they can come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. God can bring something good out of a wrong motive. And in this case, Naomi came back because of the food she heard about. We ought to compel men and women to come to church by using every enticement we can use, as long as it is scriptural. They might not come because they love the Lord, but if we can get them under the preaching of God's word, might be while they are there that God can get a hold of their heart. The Holy Spirit can convict them, and they can be made new creatures in Christ Jesus. Naomi, the backslider, came back to Bethlehem. She's not coming for the right reasons, but at least she's headed in the right direction again. God provides physical food, but he also provides spiritual food. As Naomi returns home, her daughter-in-law goes back with her. Naomi, again, the perfect picture of a backslider who has drifted from the Lord, but Ruth is the perfect picture of a convert that is literally starving for spiritual food.